Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And Jan, happy February.
Well, thank you. I just can't believe that time is flying the way it is.
Right, exactly.
Personally and in the garden as well.
And we've had an interesting season, to say the least. We've had some moisture, at least in my neck of the woods, about over an inch and 7/10, I believe, was the last that I recorded. So,
and I'm excited about that. I coined my own personal phrase. I'm calling it poppy rain.
Oh.
Because this is the time of the year when we have good moisture, and then our poppies will probably give us a beautiful show later in the spring. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed with that.
Exactly. So that's always good to wish for some cooler weather and some nice rainy wintertime season. So wonderful. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything in the garden. Right now is a great time to do a lot of tasks. I see a lot of winter weeds coming up.
It's time to get your pre-emergence down in your turf and so forth and so on. This is the good time because they're starting to poke their little heads out there. And of course, you know, a weed is identified as something you don't want in your garden. So I guess if you like dandelions, then let them take off.
Right, exactly. And what I've seen a lot is London Rockets.
Oh.
They really take over. They love the cooler weather, so they're going to end up coming up almost like a little rosette, if you will. They'll come out in little crevices in the cement. And one thing, if you want to remove any type of weeds, you want to make sure to identify it, whether it's a grassy weed or it's a broadleaf
weed.
So exactly. Really, our London Rockets are going to be broadleaf weeds. If we pull up a leaf to the light and we start seeing all the veins kind of cross over one another, that's another indication that's a broadleaf. And you want to make sure that you pull a weed killer off the shelf that's going to kill that specific weed.
And do be careful as well when you're applying your pre-emergence, especially around your flower beds, because these weeds and our flowers can't read the directions.
Right, exactly.
So it can do a number on your emerging, especially with your perennials coming back and peeking their little heads out of the soil.
Because they are also broadleaf plants.
They are.
So
you'll kill them.
Right. The chemicals don't discriminate whether it's going to be a desirable plant or a weed. They're just looking exactly on the formation of the plant itself and use that to be able to kill your undesirable weed in your ground. So definitely keep an eye out for that. That's a really great chore, if you will. But if you prevent all those from going to seed, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of time.
And a lot of work.
And a lot of work in the future. So really right now, it's in addition to a weed care and looking at your weeds, you want to make sure to do any kind of last minute pruning on your trees.
Very true. And I know that we think we're freezing to death. We actually don't know what cold is, I'm sure. But bundle yourself up and get out there. Take a look at those trees. You don't want to go much longer without pruning them, especially with the really pretty unseasonably warm weather that we've had. They're going to break bud here pretty soon. And so you want to make sure that you have your pruning done and clean up inside and, you know, watch out for your crossing branches and the dead and diseased, kind of like we talked about a couple weeks ago on our show with when we talked about roses.
Right.
We're still in rose pruning time as well here in the month of February. You want to finish that up, though, by the end of the month. And it's a good time to plant roses as well.
Right, exactly. And we always recommend to get, if you have a choice, to get the containerized roses. Those are going to come in their own roots. They have a developed root system. Those are going to be great to be able to transplant. They're going to be able more, a lot more conducive to our climate as well. If you have no choice but to do a bare root roses, please read up on those. Follow the directions closely on that. You want to make sure that you remove that waxy seal that they've put on the bare root roses themselves for shipping and transporting, because
yes,
that can become detrimental when you're trying to get that back into the ground.
It really can. And even with your containerized plants, you want to check when you don't be afraid to take a look at, you can almost lift it out of that container. Make sure that the roots aren't circling that root ball so tightly that it's choking it off. We call that girdling. And you want to check for unhealthy roots too. And make sure you don't bring home a bunch of hitchhikers, because that can cause problems later on. We have really good information on rose care for the desert at our website, txmg.org/El Paso. So do go and review some of that information that's out there.
Yeah, if you're listening to us right now, there's still time to get out to the Rose Garden where the Master Gardeners are having their rose pruning demonstration.
Yes.
They'll be out there this morning until 2 o'clock this afternoon. So stop by, ask them some questions, and they'll get you to do some pruning cuts on those rose bushes there too. And it's kind of like the best way to learn.
It really is. It's a hands-on experience and really nice folks. There's lots of information that will be available at that presentation that you can take home with you with pictures. Pictures are worth 1,000 words and helps you to learn the proper way to cut and prune your roses. So don't be afraid of them. They've been around for many, 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 many years and they're everywhere. Think about it. You know, everywhere you go, somebody's got roses along the way. So don't be afraid of them. The return on your investment is phenomenal.
The one thing for that is you don't want to prune any climbing roses. Climbers are the biggest exception in rose pruning. You don't want to prune those until after they bloom.
Exactly. And the most famous or the most common one is the Lady Banksia rose. It's a beautiful, the only downside of that rose is it only blooms once, typically in April, and they are glorious. The little white ones bloom a little later. We have a bunch at the Rose Garden, and they are so pretty.
And the Lady Banks, they start off like a bright lemony type color of rose, and then as they get older, they almost fade into a very nice pale and soft yellow. So it's a really great option for rose growers if they want to choose something that kind of to grow or to trellis over a walkway or an arbor in a little pocket area of their garden. But the downside is that they only give you one show a year.
Show
it's a spectacular
year.
Show, but it's just one show a year. So keep that in mind. And pretty soon we're going to be here talking about the wonderful blooms at the Rose Garden. But just like everything else, you got to put in the work and the maintenance before then.
You do. Everything's waking up. It's starting to wake up now. And there's still time to plant some cool season flowers like pansies and snapdragons and some of your mums. It's also time to start separating some of your plants, your fall perennials like your canna lilies and your coneflowers and even your mums. You can separate those. So don't be afraid to do that and just bundle up and get out there and get after it because spring's going to come and then you're going to go, oh, why didn't I get all of this stuff done earlier?
Right. And by doing the division of the plants in your garden bed, sometimes what they do is if they really like a spot, the plants kind of take over and fill up that bed really well. And everything's great for a few seasons. And then after a while, you start seeing a decline in blooms. And a lot of times that's an indicator that you need to be able to go in there and start dividing the plants,
exactly. Giving
them a little bit more space, giving them more of the root system to be more extensive is going to pay off with a showier blooming season through the summer and fall. So keep in mind that you're doing that. And that's a great way to be able to take that out of the garden and share your plants by dividing them.
And health-wise for the plants, as you move those, you know, you divide and move those things, then they're not, that huge clump is not taking up all of the nutrients. You have smaller plants, and like you say, it's a great way to fill in your flower bed. And if you share with others, then guess what? You're going to get that back.
Right, exactly.
And it's very worthwhile, very worthwhile.
Wonderful. Well, you know what? February is also a great time to start thinking about your summer vegetable garden, believe it or not. So
absolutely.
I know that we've talked about getting the head start on planning and doing your summer garden. And we know that one of the best tools a gardener can have is a calendar. And you always want to look back and you got to keep in a couple of dates in mind. The last historical killing freeze based on several years of climate data is going to be April 15th. That's tax day. So it's a great way to remember that. Now, it doesn't mean that it can't freeze after that date, but historically, that's going to be your last killing freeze. Now, you need to make sure that you get your calendar out and start backtracking and you start taking that away so that you can start some of your seeds indoors.
Indoors. And we're doing that right now. Of course, we have the advantage of a large greenhouse, so we're starting a little earlier. But I think the phrase that you hit on is the killing freeze. Just because your phone or whatever weather map you're looking at says it's going to get down to 29 degrees doesn't mean that it's going to stay down 29 long enough to kill things. So we've advocated planting our tomatoes around the 1st of April, the plants seem to do well. They start to bloom earlier, which results in an earlier harvest, and we can protect them with shade cloth and so forth and so on, good mulch around those plants. So you still have time to look in your catalogs, get those things ordered so that if you're going to plant from seed, that you can get those started. It's going to take about 6 weeks for those to germinate and get to a size that they're ready to transplant out in the garden. So those are some things to consider here in our area. Of course.
And it depends on what kind of risk you want to take as a gardener. So if you start off setting them out in the garden by April 1, you're 2 weeks from that frost date. But it's a matter of the risk that you want to take. And you want to make sure that you get that plant established. And like you said, put that into a little protective screening to kind of protect it from those low nights that we are still maybe able to experience in that season. But we got to start our work soon thereafter. So if we look at April 1, then we want to plant about 6 weeks before
So
that's going to be here about the middle of February,
yes,
which is around Valentine's Day. So it's also good to start thinking about that and getting little propagation set up in your own home garden as well.
You can do that on your windowsill with good light. There's all sorts of neat little kits that are out there that kind of create a greenhouse effect and lights and so forth and so on. One thing, a package of seeds is going to run you maybe $4, and you're going to pay that much at least for one tomato plant,
right,
which will be coming out before too much longer. But if you're afraid of the risk of planting too early, there's a lot of seeds in one package, and so you may lose something, but more than likely, and I always say that if anything dies, it's an opportunity. So don't be afraid of that. And we use shade cloth out in our gardens that we wrap around our tomato cages. And with our spring winds, that's very helpful as well. You're protecting them from not only the cold, but also from the wind.
Once they're out in the garden. And if you really want to start at some seeds inside, you're looking at your windowsill. And I'll share a little tip that I have with our listeners. I have found that my kitchen has a lot of natural light. I do have some skylights where I get a lot of nice natural light throughout the day. But I found a location to be able to put a little propagation tray with some little seed starting soil and my little container with my dome on there is actually on top of my refrigerator.
Oh,
and the reason for that is that the refrigerator itself is an appliance. It puts out a heat source on that. And the best thing about that is that by having a tray of seeds started on top of the refrigerator, mm-hmm, it's out of the way, so it doesn't take any of my countertop space away from the kitchen, and it does get that bottom heat. Because when you look at propagating seeds, it's not just the light that you're looking at, it's also those temperatures, and a seed won't sprout unless our temperature are correct and within range.
That is an excellent point, and not everybody, and I love the refrigerator idea. You don't have to go out and buy an expensive heating mat. Just don't forget to water them when they're up in the refrigerator.
Right, exactly. And that's always the case when it still gets warm, a little bit too cold in your house and you have your heater running. So that's it for February tips.
We could go on and on, but our time is running short. So.
Right, exactly. So if you have any questions, please visit the Master Gardener webpage. If not, give them a call at their help desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.